Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is Tulsa creative writing teacher, playwright, and stage director Michael Wright. The former University of Tulsa creative writing professor has just released his second novel in what he calls his Baltimore Trilogy. Wright grew up in Baltimore, and the books feature young men from blue-collar families on the cusp of adulthood, wrestling with decisions about relationships, college versus work in the factories, like their fathers, and of course, girls, set in and around Baltimore in the early 60s, right before the arrival of the Beatles. The latest book, The Chessmen, follows Sonny, high school senior with a gift for playing trumpet. He falls in with a group of young musicians, a little older and more experienced in a band, and then experiences a new world with the attendant conflicts of destructive personalities, seedy bar life, and tentative explorations of sex. The Chessmen follows his earlier book, which ironically is actually set slightly later, Down the Ocean, Summer of 64. He'll speak about both in a virtual book event next Wednesday, February 10th at 7 o'clock through Magic City Books. You can visit magiccitybooks.com for registration information. Michael Wright is my guest today. Michael Wright, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Truly my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. I think many Tulsans, when they think of a Michael Wright writing project, they think of it having some theatrical aspect to it, but you're a creative writing teacher of all types, and these books offer a very different side of your writing personality. So tell me where the idea for these novels, both set in Baltimore, came from.
Well, the first novel, Down the Ocean, started just as a short story. I was thinking about my ex-girlfriend from those days and the pursuit of, you know, trying to track her down in Ocean City. And I want to be clear right from the very beginning, these books are not autobiographical. They include some aspects of me, but also aspects of other young men that I knew along the way. So, yeah, it started as a short story, and I have a writing workshop that has been going since 2002, and I brought the short story in, and it went well. And I suddenly thought, okay, well, what's another short story? So I essentially wrote the next thing chronologically that would be likely to happen, and then some part of my brain said, hey, you know what, this could be a novel. Off I went, you know, and yeah. So, and I just had a blast writing it. I mean, it's highly fictional as things evolve. But like I said, there's touches here and there.
Right. So now this new book, The Chessmen, is the second in what you're calling your Baltimore trilogy. So obviously, there's a third that's in the works.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And you both set both of these novels in Baltimore. I assume that's where you came from. Are these sort of remembrance pieces, even though they're not autobiographical? They're enough of that autobiographical sense that's a part of this, right?
Yeah, I was born in Baltimore City and raised there for about 3 years. And then my family moved out to a pretty new suburb in an unincorporated city area called Dundalk. There was a huge new development of homes because people who lived in the city, it was a drag for them to have to go all the way out by streetcar to Bethlehem Steel, which is where my dad worked. So that was the logic of moving. And yeah, these are remembrances in very many ways. A lot of it for both books is about the pain of trying to figure out how to be a person in adolescence. Opportunities missed, opportunities gained, relationships, trying to understand what's really going on in the world. The new novel actually is not set in Baltimore. It's set in the Air Force in the late 60s, but it's still about a character who is from Baltimore. All three books are about different characters from that area.
And it sounds like, though, that Down the Ocean, the first book in this trilogy, was actually later than The Chessmen.
Yeah, it's a reverse chronological order with those two. I had a very strong impulse to write something about the world of rock and roll. And in The Chessmen, I think you could easily say that the book is about the loss of innocence. And certainly that was the core of my experience within that. And again, not autobiographical, but certainly close enough that I felt like, I feel as if now looking back on the book, I could write about it with some authority.
Yeah, this new book, The Chessman, follows Sonny, who's a high school senior. He's a trumpet player. He's sort of unsure of his future. You know, he's getting the push towards college. He's from a blue-collar background, and of course, that's the whole thing, is could he go to college? Does he want to go to college? Does he? And so he's sort of at this crossroads. He's a reader, which probably does sort of square with you a little bit. But other than that, this is about finding a high school band, and not high school band as in marching band or concert band, but a band that's playing in clubs. And it's very interesting. It's sort of this amalgam of that late 50s, early 60s, before really rock and roll took over. And it's this band is sort of, sounds like a mix of jazz and pop music and everything that sort of went along with that time in the early 60s.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the guy who ran the band was very keen on trying to make the band fit into pretty much any environment where there could be a paycheck involved. He was desperate to get out of his life of working for the Chevy plant, which was one of the big employers in Baltimore, along with Bethlehem Steel. And so he was very interested in kind of, you know, middle of the road thing. I mean, true rock and roll was happening all around us. There were a lot of bands that were going on doing very well. And of course, the early 60s, you know, this is when Elvis was really beginning to fall off of his peak, but he still was the main guy in many ways. And the fact that the sax player can impersonate Elvis's voice is a big selling point for the band. So, but it, you know, I mean, in reflection, the band was pretty Catholic in terms of the range of stuff that we were playing. And I think in the long run, the idea that the main guy had, the boss of the band, if you will, made perfect sense for the era, because what will happen soon enough in 1964 is the real arrival of the Beatles in America and everything else that follows along with the British invasion, which changed music for decades here.
So what do we need to know about Sonny? Sonny is the primary character. He's ambivalent about joining the band at first. He's not sure. And then all of a sudden he falls into this world.
Yeah. Well, actually, the band is ambivalent about him at first, because he's not really a very showy trumpet player. But I think what Sonny's issue is really in the long run is that he follows his passion. And when the passion doesn't seem to hold together, he doesn't mind walking away from it. He had been a really avid, ardent tennis player, and he was pretty good at it, but he didn't get the results that he wanted from it. And so he just turned his back on and walked away. And fortunately, the opportunity for the band was waiting there, and so he could just flip his passion directly into that.
You know, both of these books are sort of Roy, the protagonist of Down the Ocean, is just out of high school, sort of thinking about the college route. He's working at Sparrow Points, the Bethlehem Steel, which shows up in both of these novels. That plant was sort of like the coal mines, if you will, of that part of Baltimore. It's like, I'm either going to get out or I'm going to go work at Bethlehem Steel. But, you told me, you said you don't care for the term coming of age, although both of these stories are sort of learning about various parts of development in becoming a man, basically. So why don't you like that term, coming of age?
Well, the backstory to that actually has to do, I was a professional script reader for MGM and some other places in New York for a year while I was in transition from one thing to another. And I always had a problem with screenplays. They insisted that I had to identify the genre of the screenplay, you know, and I'm like, well, look, if you ask me what the genre of Star Wars is, yeah, of course it's science fiction, but it's also a cowboy movie. It's also a romance. It's, you know, so my problem with coming of age is that I think it's looked down the pond a little bit, and I feel like you have to fight against the niche that is that particular genre suggests that you're in. The characters, I think, are, in my books anyway, I think they're a lot less innocent than coming-of-age books typically are, the characters in books typically are. So I but when I saw that, you know, on Amazon, you know, you should also read and name some other books that are, you know, pretty high up on the bestseller charts, I said, well, okay, fine. If that's what it does, if people feel like it compares mine to somebody else's in some kind of way, oh, good, that works for me, you know. So, you know, I think anybody that doesn't want to be trapped in a particular area, like I admire you because I've seen you play in a salsa band, which I love, but I've also seen you play for the symphony, you know, and that's great. That gives you a lot of ways of expressing your musicality without trapping you into a particular thing. So yeah, and that's why coming of age bothers me. But in the long run, you have to go with what the market asks for, and so that's what I did.
I think both of these books are more probably accurately, they're describing rites of passage for young men in, mm-hmm. in this particular mm-hmm. age. Yep. In this age, just as America was losing its innocence, you know, the 50s, 60s innocence, you know, that sort of thing, early 60s.
Yep, so, very much so.
My guest today is Michael Wright. He's a playwright, creative writer, and stage director. His latest work is a novel, the second in what he's calling his Baltimore trilogy, The Chessmen. He'll have a virtual book event Wednesday, February 10th at 7 o'clock at Magic City Books. You'll have to register in advance. You can find all the information at Magic City Books website. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Now, both of these books are written in something you call the Merlin dialect. What is that dialect, and why is it important in the storytelling?
Well, it has everything to do with how I hear the sound of the speakers and how I feel the rhythm of the way in which people speak. There's the mom, they rehearse in a basement of a house in Dundalk, and the mom has an extreme Dundalk, Baltimore accent. She'll say things like, "Hey, mom, come away, you know," and people have said, "Oh, that sounds like Cockney." I said, "Well, come to Baltimore and hear the difference, because it's uniquely its own, you know." As an actor, I had to train myself out of speaking that way, but friends of mine always tease me that I still have bits and pieces of it in certain sounds that I make when I'm talking. But it's, you know, it's sort of, and this is really a ridiculous comparison, I guess, on some level, but the Trainspotting books are written very much in the Glaswegian dialect, and I really appreciated that. I don't think you could, I could not write a whole book in Dundalk dialect, because I think it would baffle people. But, you know, and it takes a while reading Trainspotting to really feel like you're understanding everything that's on the page. So, you know, there are suggestions of it here and there. There are little tidbits of it in certain characters that always shine through. And, you know, again, it's I met the guy who wrote Trainspotting. I can't grab his name off the top of my head, but we were talking, and I said, you know, I think it's so wonderful that, you know, you're making that connection back to your essential self, your roots. And he said, yeah, that's all I'm trying to do, is just talk about the people that I knew and the way in which it comes through in the language. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what all of us could try to do. And, you know, as a theater person, I'm acutely aware of regional accents. I'm always asking people, well, in the days when there were coffee houses open, I would, you know, somebody's sound would be unique, and I'd say, where are you from? I just want to find out where that accent is from, because I've always worried that cable will do away with accents, you know, but, you know, it hasn't so far,
I like what you said about getting back to your roots and trying to express the admiration for your roots. This seems to be what these books are about for you.
Yeah, yeah. And the new one, it's called In the Air, like Up in the Air, Junior Birdman. It's Air Force Days, you know. And, you know, the issues are for the main character, Danny, that he's never really lived on his own. Technically, he's under the apron strings of the Air Force, but he's never really lived apart from his parents and their watchful eye. And so he's really starting to assess, who am I? Who have I become? And, of course, this is all happening in the late 60s when everything just goes bananas. Everybody's going crazy with smoking weed and all the other stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how much life changed in those in that decade. The Chessmen, it's a little too early, but, you know, when these guys are not going to go to college, I think if they were a year or two on, they would be worried about being drafted and going to Vietnam. So that's the one. And I found that interesting that it really doesn't appear in Down the Ocean. I guess that's too early.
Well, yeah, it is. I remember people talking in 64 and 65 when I was still living in Baltimore about worrying about the draft and, you know, et cetera. And I would have been drafted had I not joined the Air Force. So, I mean, that's the truth of the new novel. Because your number starts coming in. And this is before the lottery. This is when they would just pretty much take anybody who wasn't going back to college. The guys in the band, in the Chessmen, are all older. And so the possibility of them being drafted, very much so. But I would say probably of all of them, the drummer, for sure, whose name is Weedy, would find some. He was a scoundrel to the max, and I'm sure if he got called up, he'd find some way to get out of it. So, yeah, you know, it was a time for creativeness when it came to social realities, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, in this book, The Chessmen, Sonny joins the band. He's getting some notoriety. He's getting attention from girls, and it's that's sort of, in many ways, that sort of crossroads of his life. What is he going to do? And just as soon as it looks like everything's coming together, everything comes apart.
Exactly.
John Woolley loves to say, every band ends badly.
Not to give too much away, but yeah, absolutely, the end of the band is really I think it's very sad, and again, some of what happened is in the book, and certainly an aspect of what happened is in the book, although it happened very differently. It was not a lovely, friendly, shaking hands breakup. It was savage in many ways.
Now, were you in a band? Is this sort of following at least some autobiographical aspect yourself in your time? Yeah.
Yeah. I was a trumpet player, and all through high school. I stopped, more or less after I went to college, because I started junior college and there was no music program, and I got pulled into a theater project against my will. I wanted to be an assistant to the director to learn how to write plays. That was my interest, because I've always been a writer. And then next thing I know, I'm on stage as an actor, and that was the end of my music career and, the rest of it. But, yeah, I was a trumpet player, and I did play in a band that's somewhat similar to this one, to the Chessmen. And I think part of the recognition, and it's not belabored terribly much in the book, but it's certainly something that I was trying to write about, which is the question of whether you're in the right place or not, whether you're bringing the right elements to the place or not. What is my place if I'm 16, 17 years old? Same thing for Danny in the new book. What is my place? Who am I now that I'm, airman, whoever, so.
My guest today is Michael Wright. His new book is titled The Chessmen. It follows on Down the Ocean, summer of 64. Two books in what he calls his Baltimore Trilogy. He'll have a virtual book event on Wednesday, February 10th at 7 o'clock at Magic City Books. Virtually, again, is the operative word. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. I have to ask about going back to Baltimore. Baltimore sort of punches above its weight in literary and in certainly in film and television. People like David Simon writing about The Wire, Barry Levinson's films, yeah, even John Waters. What is it about Baltimore that keeps all these people going back to this city as opposed to other cities of the same size around the country?
I think it's because it's not a mid-sized city like Tulsa. And it's not a huge city like New York where, you know, it's difficult to make your own way in a huge city as an artist. And so Baltimore is a great kind of a middle ground for not only doing your work so that you have some place that you can, you know the environments, you know the areas, you know the way that people talk. There's a great moment in one of Barry Levinson's films. I don't remember the title of it, but it's about guys trying to sell aluminum siding. And they're working this customer, and then basically they decide, okay, if she doesn't, you know, decide to sign the contract right away, we'll walk away and make her come after us. And she does it. She walks up to them. She says, "Oh, please, Hans." And "Hun" is like the Maryland state word, you know. You drive into Baltimore on I-95 from the north, and somebody has graffiti. It says, "Welcome to Baltimore," and somebody has graffiti, comma, "Hun." So there's a uniqueness of language. There's certainly a uniqueness of culture. Baltimore was a very, it was a midway place also for the Southern immigration, both for African American people and Southerners like my mom. She left Winston-Salem to try to find better work, better opportunities, and Baltimore was an ideal location for that. And it's a place that's full of characters. It just seems like everybody, and this is like New York. You ride down the street on your bike and you see somebody doing something. You say, "Hey, where you at? What's going on?" And they'll yell back and they'll have a little conversation, not negative, but just like jiving with each other a little bit. Same thing is true in Baltimore. People are very, very open, and they just kind of say what they feel. And yeah, a lot of craziness. I mean, we don't have time for me to delineate the lunacy just in my extended family, but trust me, it's there, you know. So I think it's a specific, it's a unique environment. I think it's lost a bit of that since, you know, time has moved on. But back in the 50s and the 60s, it was definitely a unique place. And the Corny Collins show that he uses in
John Waters,
John Waters, that was actually a show called the Buddy Dean Show. And if you got to get on that, which I did, you know, it was amazing. It was like, oh, my gosh, this is the greatest thing in the universe, you know. So, and it was a big deal. And the integration of Gwin Oak, which was the amusement park, huge, huge amount of controversy over that. And he really takes that on in the film.
Yeah. So what has it been like? You said these books are not autobiographical, but obviously they're autobiographically inspired. What's it been like to mine these memories after all these years?
It's been fantastic because, you know, there's some truth, of course, in it. And I made a trip before publishing Down the Ocean. I went to Baltimore, and my sister still lives there, and I stayed with her. And then I went for an overnight trip to Ocean City because I wanted to make sure it still felt as much the same as it could. And yes, it did. I mean, the boardwalk smells the same. The people that you see on the boardwalk are very much the same. There's just a kind of a, you know, crazy free-spiritedness about it. But also, I walked along the edge of the beach and noticed that there were rivulets being formed by the runoff. And I hadn't really paid attention to that before. So that ended up in the book as a bit of a description. But just to be there and smell it and taste it and put my feet in the sand and all the other stuff that goes along with that, I wanted to make sure that there was a degree of verisimilitude in that, some truthfulness. And, in terms of that kind of stuff, same thing with Baltimore. I mean, again, I'm writing about a bar in downtown Baltimore that, you know, unless you looked like you were 8 years old, you could walk in and get a beer. And fortunately, it was down the street from the greatest independent bookstore that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And so writing about that little area where down the street from that bookstore was a communist bookstore that, you know, I would go in there once in a while and just look at the books because I didn't know what it was. I had no idea, but I was fascinated by it.
And it was forbidden.
Started to realize. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And the same thing is true, you know, with the chessmen. It doesn't take much for me to get the smell of a bar in my sense memory at all. It doesn't take much for me to hear the guy who sang like Elvis to hear him doing that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and as you know, in a band, there are various kinds of lines of communication. Some of it's the talk that you have before the first set or whatever it may be, but then there's also the communication on stage and what's happening there. And when somebody goes off a little bit or somebody does maybe an unexpected solo and you start to go, oh, my God, it's so great, you know. And it's, you know, it's a different kind of communication than just verbal communication. So lots of elements like that. Part of my ambition was to see if I could put the reader on the stage with the band. You know, how do you feel up here?
One thing I noticed is this novel is very different than the first novel and how it's constructed. Down the Ocean was introspective, a lot of interior thoughts. The Chessmen, by contrast, is very dialogue heavy. Now, I could almost say theatrical in a way. Was that purposeful on your part?
Yeah, very much so. And the current novel is being written in present tense. So, you know, I'm just trying to explore the range of what can be done. I mean, if you look at a novel, if you just take it apart, it's just a pile of words, okay? So how do you approach making that pile interesting? It's different from the leaves in my yard piled up as opposed to, I don't know, a haystack that somebody has delivered to the next door yard, you know? So just trying to play around with that. My friend Elena Carrillo, who was my student and then became a co-professor at University of Texas El Paso, is my editor. Anytime I'm finished with a full draft, I send it to her, and then she works on it and you know, advises, and sometimes, you know, shakes her finger at me like, "What's the matter with you?" and all that. And she actually said to me, "Watch out for the introspective I thinking, you know, I feel this, I feel that." She said, "Try to make it active." And I said, "Oh, that's exactly it. Thank you. That's perfect." And the dialogue just came naturally because that's how it felt to do. I don't know if I can make it more clear than that. But again, it's the way in which we talk to each other, the way in which we can poison a conversation with the one bad word choice or uplift somebody's brain from, you know, a different perspective because we said something that shines a light in there. That's, you know, that's why the dialogue. And also it's been my craft for 1,000 years because I primarily was a playwright until I started writing these novels.
Yeah. The Baltimore Trilogy, the second book is The Chessmen, a virtual book event next Wednesday at Magic City Books with Michael Wright, my guest. Michael, thanks very much for joining us.
Okay, really appreciate it, Rich.
Playwright, creative writer, and stage director Michael Wright speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. His latest work is a novel, the second in his Baltimore Trilogy, The Chessmen. He'll be speaking about that book and his previous book, Down the Ocean, Summer of 64, in a virtual book event this Wednesday, February 10th at 7 o'clock at Magic City Books. You can visit magiccitybooks.com for registration information. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.